So, Hare Krishna. This evening we will hear something which will give great pleasure to our hearts. Krishna, as we all know, had lifted the Giriraj mountain as a response to Indra, who had attacked the land of Vrindavan and the people of Vrindavan with thunderous rain clouds. When Krishna took Giriraj up, Giriraj made an angry loud sound. It cracked. The boulders were falling down, and Krishna took the mountain really high into the sky. All this looks for us here in this world to be like a big effort, some great endeavor. But if you understand the Govardhan Leela from the perspective of the Brijbasis, Krishna really did this all very playfully. For Krishna to lift a mountain is not very difficult, because he explains that all of creation rests upon him like pearls which rest on a string. So what is so wonderful for Krishna if he lifts just one mountain? Krishna did this very playfully. So today in the evening we want to hear about the playful nature of Krishna and how he joked with the Brijbasis, how he had wonderful, sweet relationships with all of his devotees. As he was standing there under this huge Giriraj, Giriraj had expanded, how he was so free from anxiety. So every morning there is a scene in Braj which is giving a lot of pain to the Brijbasis. Krishna leaves with the cows and the cowherd boys to stay for 8 long hours in the forests of Braj, and the whole village goes with Krishna to the gate of Vrindavan. And then the elderly people return, but Yashoda and Nanda go and accompany Krishna into the forest. Finally, the time comes to say goodbye, and Nanda and Yashoda, who love Krishna so much, they say, "Krishna, why did you have to be born amongst us cowherders? You should have had simple work to do, but you have now difficult work." Krishna says, "It's my pleasure, it's my pleasure, it's my pleasure, Ma. Let me go, let me go. The forest of Vrindavan is very cool." Wow, that sounded like a little tiger from Vrindavan's forest. It is very nice there. So then Krishna takes his leave from Yashoda, who falls down unconscious in the pangs of separation from his her beloved Lord, not a child. Nanda Maharaj follows his wife and also faints, and the Brijbasis sadly pick up Nanda and Yashoda and carry them into the village of Vrindavan, where they will stay until the time when Krishna returns in the evening. That's after 8 hours. So now Krishna is under the hill of Govardhan and carries Giriraj. And this gives the Brijbasis the opportunity to stay with their beloved Krishna and feast their eyes on each of Krishna's limbs. Many Vaishnavas have described Krishna's limbs, the sweetness of his smile. They have discussed Krishna's pendant. It's an amulet which is made from two tiger claws which Yashoda puts there so that no bad omens and no demons can touch Krishna. There are many descriptions about Krishna from where his beauty is praised from toe to head and from head down to toe. It's a very very nice, fascinating descriptions which are there, which offer us, the devotees of Krishna, an opportunity to meditate about Krishna from toe to head and from head to toe. So these Vrijbasis now look at their beloved Krishna. They meditate about him for 7 days. They do this, as the Vishnu Purana says, what does it say? They were simply amazed by the beauty of the Lord, and out of loving affection, they opened their eyes wide. Krishna stood directly facing the Vrijbasis, who drank the beauty of his form with their eyes. In seeing Krishna's beauty, everyone forgot about eating, sleeping. Sometimes they spoke about Krishna. Oh, look how what Krishna just did. He shook a little with his finger so that Giriraj was also shaking a little. So they were talking like this, but most of the time they were just gazing at Krishna, staring uncontrolled at Krishna, just being what is described to be amazed and surprised and wonderment. How is it that Krishna is so beautiful? I think we all have sometimes looked at the beauty of nature, and at that time sometimes we became speechless. So this is what the situation is. Mostly the Vrijbasis look at Krishna and they can't talk any longer because it's so beautiful. Outside, the rain fell down and it sounded as if water was poured out of large pots. You know, that makes this type of sound. Like this, you know, like roaring of an elephant. But inside, that is underneath Govardhan, the Vrijbasis were just overwhelmed by the waves of beauty which emanated from Krishna. There was only one devotee who was totally in anxiety. Can you imagine who it was? Mother Yashoda. Yashoda thought Krishna is overworking himself by carrying Giriraj for 7 days and nights. She said to Krishna, this mountain is much too heavy for your small little hand. But Krishna responded, Mother, there cannot be anything which is more fun for me than holding Giriraj. Why are you worried for nothing? Just see, the great mountain Govardhan seems to fly on his own in the sky. I don't have to carry him. So Yashoda interrupts him. Why do you say this? I only believe that Giriraj is flying if he takes leave from your lotus hand and flies one round above all of us here in the sky. Then I believe that he is light, as you say. So So then they begin to discuss, and these are very beautiful to hear how Krishna speaks with his devotees. Madhu Mangal came to the help and said, "Oh Queen of Vrindavan, just don't worry. Do you understand? Don't worry. The mountain is flying in the sky, not because Krishna is holding it, but because I chanted mountain flying mantras." Yashoda is disturbed, interrupts Madhu Mangal. "Hey Madhu, don't talk like this. You are a little impudent. What kind of nonsense are you speaking? I'm burning in anxiety over my son, and now you come here, make jokes and laugh about this situation." And Nanda Maharaj says, Oh Devi, what Madhu Mangal says is correct. It is not because of Krishna's effort that Giriraj is up in the sky, because Krishna is a little boy. If we squeeze a little in his cheek, the milk from his mother becomes visible on his teeth. He's so small. How can he possibly carry a huge mountain? It must be because of mantras which were chanted by Madhu Mangal, who's the best of Brahmins. So, while all these sweet discussions go on, all the Brijbasis stand around Krishna, simply admiring the sweetness of his transcendental form. And this is what they see. They saw how his right heel was raised. You know, Krishna takes his right foot and places it before the left foot. And so the right heel, which is very reddish, we say lotus feet, that means Krishna's feet are really like soft lotuses. This is raised, but the left foot is flat on the ground, and it seems it kisses the earth. So his strong left arm holds the mountain, and only the little pinky is engaged. This is called a pinky. While the thumb of his right hand is tucked in his waist belt for elegant standing. You know, Krishna is very conscious of elegance. He has his thumb on his effulgent red cloth, which is around his waist. And on his belly, there are three beautiful lines. There's a little water in the lines from nice little sweating, which looks very beautiful when Krishna breathes in and out. The lines are rippling, and it looks a little silvery inside. Very beautiful. Then he has blue lotus flowers over his ears, and these have pollen, and the pollen has fallen on his cheeks. Now his cheeks look a little rouge, a little red. I think we say rouge in French language. And it looks very, very beautiful. Krishna is very happy, in a very happy mood. His eyes wander from left to right because he wants to see all his devotees. He doesn't want to miss even one devotee. And the Brijbasis, they say, even though Krishna must be tired from lifting Giriraj, he is delighting our minds with the nectar of his very gentle smile. Now another bridge Parsi, you must know, they are experts in beholding Krishna's form. This other bridge Parsi notices that Krishna's feet have not moved for a long time. And therefore, he looks down at the feet and sees these ankle bells. Krishna always has ankle bells on his feet, and when he moves, the devotees can hear his moving. It is said when we have our first Krishna darshan, the first thing is not, or let me say, it's not that in the beginning we see Krishna through our eyes. No, when you meet Krishna for the first time, you first hear the anchor bells on Krishna's feet as he is dancing and coming into your perception. You hear this, I mean, much more beautiful, but the idea is you hear the ringing of the anchor bells first. Then later, you may see the shining from his toenails, and then hear also his flutes sound, but the anchor bells that you hear. So this one bridge Parsi, and you must know that they are only into Krishna. From morning till evening, they talk about Krishna. They are not like us who have three Krishna Katha sessions or two sessions in the day and then we already pass out and we have to go to the bathroom. No, they really listen on talk from morning till evening and throughout the night. The bridge Parsis wake up in the night, say, did you hear that ankle bell sound of Krishna when he came from the meadows? Oh yeah, but I heard also something else. And they talk like this. So this bridge this person says, everyone just stop. Although these ankle bells are heavy, they seem to be just like a pair of swans slipping in front of a blue lotus flower. Just see, the anchor bells are absorbed in silent meditation, just like a self-realized soul. So this is the picture. The anchor bells, which are usually moving from morning till evening and through the night, I mean, Krishna is a big mover, they are silent like swans who have fallen asleep before a pair of blue lotus flowers. What is a pair of blue lotus flowers? Krishna's two lotus feet. Wonderful. So the anchor bells are sleeping like two swans. And in this way they look a little, or else maybe they are meditating. And they meditate about Krishna's lotus feet. That's why they are so silent. So all of a sudden, Krishna, who has been still up till now, decides to do something very playful. Sanatana Goswami says, Krishna, although he appears for the gopis to be like a 15 to 16 year old adult, always has the playfulness of a little child. You know, children always play. So Krishna, all of a sudden, takes his pastime flute out of his, you know, the red cloth which is around his hips, and he presses the flute to his lips and starts to play on his flute while he is holding the Giriraj hill. Madhu Mangal is totally worried. He's alarmed. Oh, my friend, he shouts out, don't be so daring. Do not play your flute now. How will you protect your friends if Giriraj becomes ecstatic from your flute play and starts to melt? Imagine, Krishna holds Giriraj and then it comes down like melted butter. This is something I think that you all appreciate when Krishna plays his flute. The mountains become melted, and that's why in Vrindavan, even to this day, you can find Krishna's footprints embedded in the mountain Kamyavan, for instance. In Nandagram, we also find good footprints of Krishna, and so on. Your flute has the power to destroy everything, Krishna. Simply hearing it, mountains turn into rivers, and rivers turn into stone. Now, while this discussion is going on, all the devotees, and this is very important for us to contemplate, have their individual rasas or relationships with Krishna. And for each devotee, something else is going on as he looks at Krishna and Krishna looks at him. Kavi Kanapur describes in summary that this pastime completely astonished the brahmanas and the other devotees fixed in neutrality and shantaras. In other words, all the shantaras devotees, including some yogis, were sitting there looking at Krishna, thinking how wonderful, or how amazing, so amazing. that's all that they could do, is just think, my God, is it amazing. Radhika and the gopis who were in the Madhurya Ras, that confidential loving relationship, looked at Krishna and they fell deeply, deeply in love with Krishna. For instance, they would see that Krishna had in his nose a little white pearl, and in that white pearl the redness of his nostril was reflected, and they looked at this and they totally felt so much love that they wanted to embrace Krishna, but they felt shy to think like this in the presence of the elders. The cowherd man once saw how Krishna looked at the gopis and started to be so moved that he perspired profusely, and they thought, because they are not in Madhurya Ras but in parental Ras, they didn't know that this was love sweat. They thought Krishna is getting tired and weak, and they all took their cowherd sticks and just poked it under Giriraj to help carry Giriraj. There were friends in Sakya Ras like Madhu Mangal, and they pleased Krishna by laughing and joking with Krishna. And then there were very intimate friends, you know, really intimate friends, who were close, like Subal. Subal, you must know, never lets go of Krishna's hand. He always holds Krishna's hand. And even when he dreams, that is in the night, he dreams always of holding Krishna's hand. He's so intimate to Krishna that he always holds the hand. So Subal thought, let me induce and encourage my friend. And he said, you can make it, you can make it, you can make it, you know. This is how the different devotees reacted. And there were Krishna's servants like Raktak and Patrak. These servants think Krishna is the prince of Braj, because he's the son of Nanda Maharaj, and we must serve him so that he can do what he needs to do. So these two servants in particular came to Krishna and massaged his left arm, the mountain arm, to take care that there is excellent circulation. Thus, the different associates of Krishna related to Krishna in their own sweet ways. In the opening of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami describes that Krishna is able to relate to unlimited amounts of living entities. He calls Krishna Akila Rasamrita Sindhu. Huh? That is, he who has an unlimited amount of rasas, loving relationship to his devotees. Krishna can also listen to your prayer. He's not too busy with all his many other devotees who may be, in your own estimation, so much more important to Krishna than you. This is a wrong understanding that there is anyone more important to Krishna, so important to Krishna that he doesn't have time or free space in his